fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we have the cure for cabin fever.
Go get your gloves and pull your work boots on. Gotta clear that patch, pick them stones. You know the sun is gonna warm those lazy bones. Winter's over and the work's just starting. Time to get busy in the family garden. Turning the soil and planting the seeds. Laying down mulch and pulling up weeds. Mowing the corn, row on row. Then you stand right back and you watch it grow. No, even little children gotta do their part and help it grow.
Maybe they have already arrived in your mailbox, wrapped in nondescript brown paper and bursting with saturated color photos of roses, tulips, tomatoes, sweet corn, and flowering shrubs. The seed catalogs are here, and though we are in the dead of winter, we know that hope and spring is right around the corner. For it is time to open those catalogs, place your orders, dust off your grow lights, and plan your summer garden and your summer landscaping. Today on Route 51, we're previewing an upcoming convention for gardeners called Garden Visions, scheduled at the Plaza Hotel in Wausau the last weekend of January. And our guests today include the keynote speaker, Art Walk, joining us by phone from his balmy subtropical home state of New Jersey. Art, known as the Dave Barry of gardening writers, whose book Garden Lunacy sheds light on the strange world of plant nuts, garden addicts, hortaholics, and for those of us who live in these northern climes, those suffering from the all-too-common ailment of zonal denial. Joining us in our studios, two of the local people working on the Garden Vision show, Chris Morozik, a master gardener from Portage County, and Marcia Kosmerchak of North Central Wisconsin Master Gardeners. We, of course, want to hear from you. Are you a garden lunatic? Have you taken not-so-secret joy in getting those seed catalogs? Usually they arrive the last week of December. Are you already looking forward to the spring? Are you placing your orders? Give us a call, we've got some experts who can answer the questions that you might have about gardening in these northern climes, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. Art Walt, greetings from balmy subtropical New Jersey.
Hi, Glenn. Yes, it is balmy.
Just to give you an idea of our conditions here so that you can pack accordingly when you arrive in Wausau later this month, we have clear skies tonight. We'll have an overnight low of 5 below if you're in the North Woods, and we have 12 degrees outside right now in Wausau, and there is a lot of snow on the ground. You know, a lot of people, when I've been talking about this show, they think I'm nuts for doing a garden show in the middle of winter. Am I nuts, Art Walk?
No, this is a wonderful time for people to plan their garden, to get into a catalog or to take on new challenges. I think this is a great time to do that. I mean, in the middle of spring or summer, you don't have that. You know, you're out in the garden doing, you know, whatever you need to do. It's right.
And in the spring and the summer, kind of the die is cast. You know, you've already, for better or for worse, decided what you're going to plant and what you aren't going to plant. So, again, we've got this convention coming up in Wausau, the Garden Visions Convention at the Plaza Hotel, last week of January. So let's ask two of the people who are working on that, Chris Morozik and Marcia Kosmerchak, what's going on and what's the response been so far?
Well, the response has been really great because it's kind of a cabin fever break in the fall season. But I'd first like to tell you a little bit about the format. This is the second year we're doing it. In the first year, we had an overwhelming response, and I had to turn away people, which was pretty sad since all the registrations came in to me. So this year we've moved to a bigger venue, and the responses we had last year were, we'd really like some hands-on things. We'd like to do something. Not that you can really do gardening in the winter. However, what we're doing is we now have a two-day conference, and each day is actually separate. You can come Friday night, you can come Saturday. The conference proper is on Saturday, but Friday night we'd especially like to get in a lot of the local people. We're having workshops, and we're having some free talks, and vendors will be there. And so it's going to be, we have about five or six authors who are giving talks, so they will be there selling their books, signing their books.
Now, if people want to register, I know you have a registration deadline. It has to be postmarked by Friday of next week, January 16th, which is why we're doing the show today.
Correct.
You can go to gardenvisions.org on the internet and download the registration form. And it also gives an explanation of all the topics that we're covering and some of the specialty items. So you can pick and choose during the afternoon on Saturday what you'd like to attend. Some of the selections are about peonies or about landscaping in your garden. You can kind of tailor it to exactly what you would like be interested in.
Well, I looked at the number of workshops, and it covers everything, and there's a lot of stuff there that you might even be interested in if you're not a gardener. Mm-hmm. There's a session on the wild birds of Wisconsin.
It's kind of for the beginner and for the advanced gardener.
A session on garden vegetables as they appeared in Renaissance art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you've got a very eclectic, interesting selection of things to do. Now, we should tell everyone that this is not free, right? There is a registration fee involved?
The registration fee for the Saturday program is $40, and that includes Art's keynote address, his closing address, and choice of three different breakout sessions, as well as lunch. So it's a real deal.
Okay, and again, that website again is gardenvisions.org. You need to download the registration form, fill it out, and get it in the mail to Marcia. Art Wolk, what prompted you to write the book Garden Lunacy? Let's get right to the point here.
Well, I was asked to be the president of the South Jersey Hort Society, and they used to have a newsletter that was one side of one page, and the editor asked if I would do a president's column. And what ended up happening was all of these stories spilled out of me. You know, I just let it go, and within a short time, I had about eight articles ready, some of them 3 pages long, and you know, I was a good friend of the editor, and she was nice enough to print it for everyone. And here's what happened. A couple of the members were sending my stories out around the United States, which really surprised me when they said this. These stories, I know they were laughing at them, but I didn't see them because they were newsletters. But when they said they were doing that because they thought they were so good, that's when I started to believe I could write a book that people will want to buy.
It is a funny book, and it's a book that I think, again, you'll get a laugh out of, even if you are not a gardening addict or what's the phrase you use, a hortaholic?
Hortaholic, yes. Yes, we get into Hortaholics Anonymous in the book. Very
well,
important.
Well, I think we can all identify with that. When I go to a gardening shop, I can't leave there without buying at least a couple of new ones, and I plan on only spending X amount of money, but it never fails. I have a whole wagon load full of stuff that I'm taking home.
Right. I agree with you. My definition of a garden center is a place where you go to spend $5 for something you don't need and end up spending $500 for things you don't need.
Hey, Art, talk about that special moment, and I'm somebody that feels that special moment when those new seed catalogs arrive in the dead of winter.
It is very special. Before I even did much writing, I made money by growing about 5,000 seedlings a year of 100 different varieties of herbs, flowering plants, there were annuals or perennials, as well as vegetable plants. So from the first week in February until the last week in May, I delivered a lot of seedlings all around my area. And then I got to the point where I could make more money speaking and writing. So, you know, it was like Martin Luther King, free at last, free at last. And I do get excited still with new varieties that come out. There are certain standbys that are great. My favorite garden activity of all time that I didn't mention before is that I look forward to winter because I force bulbs all winter long. And right around the last week in February or the first week in March, I have an 8x13 greenhouse that's just studded with color.
Why do those seed catalogs come wrapped in plain brown paper?
Because they're so seductive, and they name the plants after them. I mean, come on, look at the names of corn. I'm really expecting to see one this year that's called Better Than Sex.
Well, and then you have the colors, too, because, you know, it's not okay to just have pink echinaceas anymore. Then you needed the orange ones and the white ones and the yellow ones, and, you know, you have to have all of them.
That's right.
Better Than Sex, you know, you really ought to trademark that, Art, you know.
I think it's been used, it hasn't been used for plants. But
oh, I think there actually is one in the daylilies that's called similar to that.
Are you a garden lunatic? If so, we want to hear from you. If you've got questions about the challenges of gardening in our northern climes, if you're about to order from your seed catalogs, you know, this is the time to do it. And we've got three people who can tell you the best things to order. If you are a gardener in northern Wisconsin, give us a call right now, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. We'll be back after this.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, formerly Fiserv Health, providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com. Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include attorney Paul A. Sturgill, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Toll-free information is at 888-613-0600.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. We're talking gardening today on Route 51. Give us a call at 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's toll-free, 780-9742, with Art Wolk, the author of Garden Lunacy, and also a couple of master gardeners with us, Chris Morozik from Portage County, and also Marcia Kosmerchak of the North Central Wisconsin Master Gardeners, all working on the Garden Visions Convention scheduled for later this month. And Marcia, you've got your own workshop.
I do, yes, I do. I have a bit of garden lunacy, too. I don't have a single blade of grass in my yard. Not all my neighbors appreciate it, but I've got a full cottage garden. And at the conference, I'm actually giving a free session. I've been going through about 5,000 of my digital photos, trying to get it all together on how to set up a cottage garden and what's in a garden, what can go in a cottage garden, and especially roses for our climate, and those have to be very hardy roses.
What is a cottage garden?
A cottage garden it comes from the old English idea when, you know, you had these little landholders and they gave their servants a little plot of ground, and on that plot of ground they grew stuff to eat. They had a pig. They used everything. And so it's basically a very informal garden. Yeah.
I guess, Art, we're all kind of indentured servants to our habits here.
But I can Was that Marcia or Chris?
That was Marcia.
Marcia, I can go along with what you said. When we bought our house, we rented our house for about 2 years. Then we ended up buying it. And I immediately turned under the grass in the front yard and took away a sugar maple that could get into things like pipes. And I had neighbors so angry at me.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And Marcia, how do your neighbors react? I mean, you're right in downtown Wausau.
I'm right in downtown Wausau. But the funny thing is, my neighbor, very nice neighbor, he had a few very formal little garden beds. And, you know, he was out there with his lawnmower all the time. And year by year by year by year, he's got less grass, and he's getting more and more plants. And I think this year he's going to actually sneak into the front yard.
I'm going to tell you a quick story about my father. I grew up in suburban Chicago in Palatine, which is kind of a Leave It to Beaver style community. And he was an environmentalist and a conservationist who nonetheless towed the line until he got older and retired. And I can never forget going home to visit one day and seeing that the entire nice suburban lawn had been taken over by chest-high Queen Anne's lace and prairie grasses. And, you know, the neighbors were putting crosses up and kind of ostracizing him. But, if you can get away with it, why not? It's more interesting.
It's kind of the great thing about gardening and kind of what in our conference, too, there's so much interest now in vegetable gardening, too. And so we're looking at the idea of organic. We kind of have several sides of the story because we have a workshop on organic gardening by the folks from Stony Acres who have the organic community gardens. And they're going to talk about organic gardening. And then we have someone talking about the truth about organic gardening. So we're really approaching vegetables and crop gardening, too, in the conference.
Art, I know you're really big on organic gardening. Something else in your book, you get into the difference between gardeners and non-gardeners.
Different species.
And this topic of the lawn, you know, you say that the difference between gardeners and non-gardeners can easily be distinguished by their lawn care activities.
Yes. I mean, the best thing to do, grass naturally is healthy at 5 inches, and that's where I cut the grass that's left in my yard. But my neighbors shave it at about 1 inch, and my wife, who's a non-gardener, she gets embarrassed a lot. So, but yeah, I think that grass in the front yard is the ultimate suburban art form for a lot of non-gardeners.
You call them green supremacists. I've heard the term, and it's even less complimentary, lawn fascists used before.
Yes, I think those are accurate terms. And what's interesting is, racist is very good, because you not only should have the same kind of grass, it has to be the same type, so all the blades look alike. You know, and that's the ultimate suburban art form. Yes, racist is very good.
You have a section in your book, Art, about translations between gardeners and non-gardeners, conversations between the two of them, and what the translation is. One of my favorites is the non-gardener saying to the gardener, "I cut the grass in your front yard," and the gardener saying, "What a nice thing to do. I really appreciate it."
Right. And, you know, what he really means is, I'm about to call the municipal government to get you locked up. You had the audacity to come into my yard and do that and kill perennials that I raised from seed. So when you say thank you to your neighbor for doing that, that's what you're really saying.
And, you know, we've got, I think it's pretty to see clover in front lawns,
yes.
Wood violets.
Yes. I mean, what's interesting is my front yard is the greenest. I mean, my grass is totally green. We've had weather down to about 20. Yes, it doesn't get near as cold where I am. But mine is the only green lawn. Everybody else does not have green lawn because, yes, indeed, I have some clover. And I actually have some English daisies in the middle of my lawn that I just leave there. And know, this is a wonderful time of year, and it's great to have different species of things.
You're really big on organic gardening, and Marcia, I know that's a big part of the conference coming up as well. Why is organic gardening better than other kinds of gardening? I mean, whatever happened to better living through chemistry?
Well, we're trying to get away from using pesticides to control the bugs that come into the lawn. And there's usually a natural alternative that you can use in place of some of the things that are harmful to the environment. And they're going to highlight some of those more of a natural solution that we can use instead of putting pesticides on our grass.
That then run off into the street
and
into
cause
the groundwater.
Well, it can run off into your garden, too.
Yes.
It can, yeah.
And I think one of the worst things it does, and I got this from a book. There's a book that every organic gardener should read, even every gardener. It's a book called Teeming with Microbes, and it's T-E-A-M-I-N-G, and they talk about all the different organisms in the soil, how they work with plants to get the nutrients to plants. They have a symbiotic relationship, but commercial fertilizer kills a lot of these types of beneficial bacteria, protozoa, algae, and especially fungi, which kill nematodes in the soil.
Hold that thought. We're going to be talking more about all of the things that go into having a very special, productive, beautiful garden when we return after this short news break. I'm Glenn Moberg. You're listening to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. Give us a call if you've got a question at 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. We'll be back after this.
Wisconsin Public Radio comes from the Northwestern Mutual Foundation, charitable arm of Northwestern Mutual, financial network representatives providing estate planning solutions on the web at nmfn.com.
Yes, you like potato, and I like potato. You like tomato, I like tomato. Potato, potato, tomato, tomato.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Oh, yes. You like potato.
And you like potato.
You like tomato.
And you like tomato.
Potato.
Potato.
Tomato.
Tomato.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Yes, we got the cure for cabin fever for you today on Route 51. I'm Glenn Moberg. We are talking gardening in the middle of winter. There is a conference, a convention for winter gardeners called Garden Visions later this month in Wausau. Registration, well, there's a deadline for next Friday. So if you're interested, you need to go online to gardenvisions.org. That's gardenvisions.org. Download the brochure and the registration form and mail it in. We have a couple of people who are working on that locally. Chris Morozik, a master gardener from Portage County, and Marcia Kosmerchak, who is part of North Central Wisconsin Master Gardeners, joining us on the phone from New Jersey, Art Wolk, the keynote speaker, the author of Garden Lunacy. And let's just look at some of the programs that you've got. There are sessions on seed starting and propagation, organic gardening, composting, bringing nature's beauty into the shady garden, new varieties for the upcoming season, garden photography, uncommon facts about Wisconsin birds, new and better trees and shrubs, Renaissance art and vegetables, for those of you who are also art historians, lady slippers, hardy orchids for northern landscapes, Wisconsin gardens and landscapes, and the Monk Gardens, which is a beautiful new garden complex in the Wausau area, the truth about garden remedies, and peony, meany, miny, mo. There we go. The perfect perennial.
The peony talk is done by Dave Waniger, and I've listened to him speak in Madison, and I was truly inspired as I walked out of his session. I thought all peonies were kind of pink puffy things and lasted for a couple of weeks, and I learned that there's so many different varieties of them, and they're very easy to grow, but they have a few simple requirements. They don't like to be moved. They don't like their roots very deep. They like to be watered heavily, and they like to be fed heavily. And Dave covers all of these different requirements in his talk. So if you've ever wanted to learn the different types of peonies, that's the place to go. He actually inspired me to do a tree peony. And
a tree peony?
A tree peony. It can get up to 15 feet wide, and it's absolutely gorgeous. It has big, puffy, almost football size blooms on it.
And Marcia, we were talking earlier about the those beautiful photographs that come in the seed catalogs, but a lot of gardeners are also photographers, and you've got a workshop on sharpening your skills.
We do indeed. We have on Friday night a workshop on digital garden photography. So if there is anyone out there that would like to learn a few tips on improving their photography by a professional published photographer, and during Saturday she's giving a critique. And it sort of goes along with the fact that we also have a photo contest as part of the conference. Now, the deadline for that is tomorrow, so if you have some nice garden photos you'd like to get in, go on to the website, postmark your stuff by tomorrow. Well, probably
you still
Saturday.
Have another day.
Yeah, or Saturday, because it's the weekend, and get those photos in. So for people who are enthusiastic photographers, there's something for you also.
A lot of sessions, particularly for northern gardeners. And again, if you're a northern gardener and if you've got questions, if you're looking to do something new this year, give us a call at 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. Art, you've got a whole section on your in your book, Garden Lunacy, about hortaholics. And particularly a phenomenon known as zonal denial. Why don't you explain that for us?
I've yet to meet a gardener that doesn't have zonal denial. They open up a catalog, see something like pampas grass that is very hardy, maybe two zones south, and they try to plant it. They plant it, and what ends up happening the next spring is that it looks like black kindling. And they still keep doing this. Over and over again. It takes, I don't know, it's kind of like Elizabeth Kubler-Ross when she described a person that's dying. You know, you go through denial, bargaining, anger, depression, and finally acceptance. And I really think gardeners go through all five of those stages before they decide to put native plants into their garden.
I hate to say this, Art, but I tried to grow pampas grass in my yard. I'm growing native grasses now.
Well, they have developed a few new varieties of grasses that are hardy for zone 3 and 4.
But they're kind of natives, you know?
Yes.
Well, that's exactly what you were saying. And I don't know about you, New Jersey, but, you know, here people have to have those hybrid tea roses, and then you have these little igloos all over the place in the fall because, you know, they've got to be mulched and they've got to be covered, and you get these ugly little styrofoam things, you know. So that's why I'm trying to say to people, hey, you know, you can have absolutely beautiful garden roses in your garden, and you know what? You don't have to do a single thing to them in our climate, and they'll be just as beautiful as those hybrid teas.
And we do have, Art, we've got, you know, like microclimates, I guess, in a lot of the listening area here. We cover 17 counties in this broadcast. We go from the Upper Peninsula all the way south to Adams County, and that's like borderline zone five. Uh-huh. And you're pushing zone two in some of these in some of these areas. Art, tell us about these different zones. How accurate are they, and what was the purpose of setting those up?
Well, the United States Department of Agriculture wanted to help gardeners. They wanted to tell them how cold it gets in their garden, and you can go and look at a plant's hardiness and then decide whether it can be grown in your garden. And they've actually gone a step farther for gardeners that live in warm areas. They have zonal maps now that tell you how many days over 85 degrees you might get and what plants can take those temperatures. I'm right on the cusp between 6 and 7, but whenever I've tried to grow zone 7 plants, I'm protected. They usually don't make it. But I still try. There's actually someone who's growing a southern magnolia up here in New Jersey.
Wow.
And if it's in a place where they don't get wind, they can live. You can play with the zones, you know, once in a while with certain things. If you cover plants the way those hybrid teas are, just putting a cover over it, that's one zone further south. But, you know, you have to keep doing other things. If you're going further and further south, there are soil cables that you could keep at approximately, I do that for my bulbs, at 48 degrees. And if you mulch it under there, everything will be fine.
And we've got a very late start to our growing season. I often feel that, May is more of a problem than September because it
sometimes
takes a long time for the soil to warm up. And we've still got snow on the ground sometimes in late April.
And frost in Memorial Day.
I know I had a hibiscus that I had growing for about 3 years. And it only took 1 year with ice and snow, and the next year it didn't come back, which it was a zone 5, but it made it through 3 years very nice, and it was beautiful.
Well, I grow tomatoes and peppers, and I'm going to give you just a couple of things that I have found have worked up north. I order from the Tomato Grower's Guide. This is an heirloom variety of Russian tomatoes. It's called the silvery fir tree. It produces tomatoes after only about 55 days. It's determinate. These tomatoes are pretty big. They're like 6-ounce tomatoes. They look like beefsteaks, but they're juicier. And produces gobs of tomatoes, and they have this lacy-like, almost a holly-like foliage to them. They don't even look like tomato plants. Very ornamental. You can grow them in pots on your back deck protects
really
them a little
cool.
bit more. For peppers, I like the gypsy peppers, which are a fast gestating variety, 55 days, and you've got all of these sweet frying peppers. Hot peppers, I grow Bulgarian carrots, which is another heirloom tomatoes. They're like a bright orange carrot-shaped pepper, very hot. And then I found that I was able to grow some grapes, King of the North grapes. Are you familiar with that variety?
Yes, I have that one.
And these are like Concord-style grapes, a little bit smaller than normal, very tart. I mean, very grapey tasting. And these things are so
very hardy.
Right.
They thrive in our area.
I planted them in June of the year before last, and by the end of the summer, they had taken over our chain link fence. So.
I think
those are my suggestions.
The key to the vegetables is checking the days for maturity. Because our season is so short, if you have something that you can protect for a little bit longer, you can stretch it out. But typically, it doesn't warm up completely until the end of May. And we can get an early frost in September or October, and we're done.
And for some varieties, like peppers, which really need warm soil, I have found that it helps to grow them in pots. And to kind of isolate them even more from the natural environment, and you can extend the growing season maybe by up to a month by doing
Another
that.
Thing you can do with the peppers is to add a dark underlayment. It absorbs the sun and it helps them to ripen up.
I've done something like that. I've done some experiments with different containers that actually have holes in the bottom, and you put them where they're going to grow in the garden, but you have the black plastic container.
Yep, the black plastic helps absorb the sun.
And the soil temperature is about 20 degrees warmer than the surrounding soil.
Something I've never tried, but I've seen them advertised, these wall of waters.
Oh, I have those.
Of course. It's something new.
Hey, we tried it at the Head Start Garden. It really works.
These are like plastic
curtains
almost filled with water.
Put them around your tomatoes.
Well, there you go. Hey, Art, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the Ten Commandments for gardeners. Are you ready?
Yes, I'll do that.
Okay, Route 51, if you want to join us, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. We're talking winter gardening. We'll be back after this.
I was out in my garden pulling up some weeds when I got to the place where I had planted those seeds. It was the biggest thing that I've ever seen. It was like a giant football, but the color was green. W-A-T-E-R. Amy Allen went, what's that spell?
Warren Ellie.
W-A-T-E-R. M-E-L-O-N.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include attorney Paul A. Sturgill, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Toll-free information is at 888-613-0600. Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, formerly Fiserv Health, providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
We're looking ahead to a convention, a show, a conference on gardening called Garden Visions, which takes place last week of January, January 30th, at the Plaza Hotel in Wausau. And if you'd like to register, that website again is gardenvisions.com?
Gardenvisions.org.
Gardenvisions.org, I'm sorry. And you can download the registration form, get it postmarked by next Friday. There are a whole bunch of workshops. And we're talking to a couple of local people, Chris Morozik and Marcia Kosmerchak, who are working on getting that all set up, and also Art Wolk, the author of Garden Lunacy, who is a keynote speaker. Now, Art, in your book, you have set down in tablet, I'm sure, 10 commandments for gardeners. Commandment one, thou shalt covet thy neighbor's plants.
Yeah, I think everybody knows about that. I mean, there have been cases where plants have been stolen. I've had plants stolen. A lot of people take cuttings. I have to admit, I'm past the point where I can be thrown in jail for this, but in my past, I have taken a few cuttings and put them in my pocket. And I admit it, but I'm past the point where they can convict me.
Commandment two, thou shalt either be eccentric or find eccentrics charming.
Yes, I used to be a member of an organic gardening club. Wonderful people, dearest people in the world, but extremely, I would say, on the outer edges of not sanity so much, but normal behavior.
We have a couple of ladies here in our studio who are nodding in agreement. Thou shalt be able to read a roadmap.
Well, that's not so much now. A lot of people are getting Garmins. My daughter has one. She hated roadmaps. She would get lost. When she got a Garmin, she was okay. Basically, what I'm saying is when you find a nursery you want to go to, you will do anything. You will move heaven and earth to get there, even if it's 200 miles away. And that's what I mean by having to read a roadmap.
Actually rerouted trips that I've had to take so that I could go past garden centers that I haven't been to before.
We organize bus trips.
Yeah. Of course.
We try and collect a couple of different stops on the same bus trip and then plan. You're limited to how much baggage you can bring back.
Here's one of my favorites, Art. Thou shalt forsake thy fingernails.
Yes, that's right. I mean, all gardeners get... There's something you can do to prevent dirt from getting under your fingernails.
Not garden.
No, no. There's something else. You can take a bar of soap and use your hand like a claw so the soap gets under there and the dirt doesn't. I know this. I think I knew about this 10 years ago. I think I've done it twice. I always forget. I always have dirty fingernails. And I think all gardeners get them. And that's okay. I don't mind them as long as they're not serving me lunch, which did happen once. So.
You know, they say a clean desk is a sign of a sick mind. And if you're a gardener, well, and the ladies here are comparing their fingernails.
or lack of them.
Although it is January, you know, during the wintertime I can have nice nails.
Next commandment, thou shalt obsess about the weather.
Yes, and why don't they quit the charade already and call the Weather Channel the Gardener's Channel? I mean, gardeners focus on the weather more than any other people. I can tell you, in New Jersey, we had a drought in 1988, 1993. We had a lot of rain in 1996. I can tell you how good certain vegetables grew because I absolutely obsess on the weather, and so does everyone else who gardens.
Thou shalt keep an open mind. Now, why is that important?
Because I think if you don't try new things, if you don't grow, say, a new tree peony, if you don't challenge yourself, I think you're missing a lot of the fun in gardening.
Thy favorite ribbon shalt be of nylon, and thy chosen color for said nylon shalt be blue.
Yes.
What is it about blue ribbons, Art Wolk?
Well, I guess it's kind of the fame, and you feel really excited when you get one. I started exhibiting in the Philadelphia Flower Show in 1978. I visited it in 77. I thought I could force bulbs and compete. But unfortunately, what happened in 1978 is I got a blue ribbon the very first time I tried. And I became, it was almost like crack cocaine to me. My best years when I won the Grand Sweepstakes in 1995 and 96, I think I collected those 2 years more than 50 blue ribbons.
You're kidding.
Oh, no, I'm serious. I'm serious. And I had friends help me get the pots in. 1999.
Did they have ribbon envy?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. It's funny. There was 1 year where I didn't compete that much. Instead, I did a display of the 13 divisions of daffodils. And one of my friends said to me, "You're making so many people happy this year that you're not in the other classes." So, yeah, and what happened was you really exhaust yourself. It's an exhausting thing for a bulb forcer to get your pot to look at its best the moment the judges walk past.
And how often does that happen?
That 3 times that week. The first full week in March is always the flower show week. And there are certain things you can force, like iris reticulata, that look good at 70 degrees for about 3 hours. And it's got to be the 3 hours when the judges walk past. Can you imagine how crazy that is? And we'll hold things back. The very best thing for me, and then this is for blue ribbons, I got friendly with the manager of my local convenience store. She let me put in pots of daffodils, tulips, everything else in her 38-degree walk-in refrigerator that she kept the lights on, the fluorescent lights on, 24 hours a day.
Art, that's cheating, isn't it?
No, not really. Other people use refrigerator, but this helped keep the foliage green. That was the year I won 23 blue ribbons.
Let's move on. Thou shalt order 20 times more seeds than thou needest.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about gardeners. They'll see that they can get less seeds in a packet, and they don't get it, because even though every year for the last 20 years their plant that they're growing has grown 3 feet high and 2 feet wide, and all they really need is 8 seeds, but they still get 200 seeds. And in its worst case, the gardener plants all 200.
Thou shalt not give a damn about soil spilt in your car or trunk.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I mean, a car is basically a big roller skate to me. It just gets you from one place to the other, and it helps you bring mulch home, plants home. I can tell you the last time we bought a new car, not a new car, but when we bought a station wagon, the first thing that happened as soon as it got home was my wife and daughter coated the back of the car with plastic so it wouldn't be ruined, because they knew I was going to go out and get bagged leaves and things like that.
Well, you got to break it in, right?
That's right.
It's like taking it on a long trip.
Well, and I have a van that I never have the back, either row of the back seats in, because, you know, you got to go to the yard waste, you got to drag everything. Yeah.
And finally, thou shalt appreciate each day and the joys it reveals.
Yeah, and this goes back to what I was saying about challenging yourself and growing new things, because you're never so excited as when the outcome is unknown. But there are certain days you go out in the garden and you look around, you know you were the person that brought it to its peak, and you feel like you're in heaven. I guess it's like a parent watching a child on the stage perform very well. And in this case, it's a garden performing very well. But, I mean, there's still disasters, and that's what makes those exquisite days wonderful.
Art Wolk, the author of Garden Lunacy, he will be the keynote speaker at the Garden Visions Conference and Convention taking place the last weekend of January, that's January 30th, at the Plaza Hotel and Suites in downtown Wausau. And again, if you want to attend that website,
GardenVisions.org.
GardenVisions.org. Download the registration form, the brochure. Send it in. It has to be postmarked by next Friday.
Next Friday. Mm-hmm.
And can I say, if people want to know about what I'm going to talk about and my background, it's at GardenLunacy.com. All one word.
We've actually got you linked in from our website to your
that's
website.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much.
We have a brief bio on each of the demonstrators also.
That's great.
Thank you, Art Wolk, Chris Morozik, and Marcia Kosmerchak, and we're looking forward to the Garden Visions show. Today's music selections from John McCutcheon, Eric Clapton, Louis Armstrong, Ella Fitzgerald, and Arlo Guthrie. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Kelson Quisler. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for riding along with us today. Until next week, we're heading out of town.
On my way.